Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 264 of Connectivity. I am your host, John Reardon, and I am joined, as always, by Neil Ronahan.
Good evening, everybody. Unless you're listening to this at a different time, then sorry. I'm going to say evening still.
I mean, it usually goes up in the morning, assuming you don't get too busy in the morning and forget.
Yeah, peeking behind the curtain, our beloved editor, Alex DeFritas, he edits these like we record Wednesday night, and he'll edit it Thursday night, and he'll usually like message it to me at like 3 a.m. So there was a good stretch where like I would just like wake up as I'm like getting ready for work in the morning. I'd like, you know, be getting the pod, uploading the podcast and everything, getting the XML feed updated. But then my child started waking up in the middle of the night. So I would like be like grabbing my phone groggily at like 4 in the morning, and then just kind of like be like, Alex, send me the podcast, and then just like sliding left on it, and then it would just go away. And then I just have these moments where I'm like, there was something I was supposed to do today, and then like 4 o'clock, it's just like realizing like I forgot the kid in Home Alone. I had to run back to my computer to then get the podcast up. So
in conclusion, when you're listening to this at 3 p.m. right after it comes out, that's why.
And also, sorry for the fact that 3 podcasts came out on February 19th. I forgot to change the date in the XML feed. I think that might have messed up updating it. So you have a Jeopardy episode to look back on. We should do another game show episode.
We should. But before we do that, allow me to introduce our guest for this week, which is a different Alex than the Alex that edits our show.
We have too many Alexes.
We have several. This is Alex Arona.
Hey, what's good, guys? How you doing?
Welcome to the show.
And you are as of this recording, you're the newest person on staff,
which is exciting.
Yes.
It's exciting. I am very humbled. I kind of fell into finding you guys through my associate of mine, one of my old college roommates, and I am lucky now to be kind of hanging out with you guys, writing for you guys, and doing all sorts of projects. So
it is. It's fun to be the newest, because if you don't know something, you don't feel like you need to. Once we hire somebody else, then you have no excuse to ask any questions ever.
I'm still new here.
Get them all out of the way now. And we are going to start this episode, which we're recording on Mario Day, by the way. Happy Mario Day.
It's also everyone. My dad's birthday, and he came first, so...
Yeah,
back off,
but
Mario.
Like, how many princesses has he saved in his life?
It depends on how I view my mother. is she a princess? I don't know. Would that make me royalty? I feel like that's
I mean, you're NWR royalty. Does she listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, well then.
She doesn't count.
I don't know what that means.
Sorry, Mom.
But speaking of... what one could say is the apex of the social structure is royalty. Apex Legends has released on Switch. Alex, you have some experience with Apex Legends already. You've played the Switch version as well. What are your thoughts so far?
As a person, I go through waves of falling in love with live service games. I will just pick a game and say, this is my next 3 months, and I'll play my normal story games throughout, but I will always return back to like an hour before bed, just an hour before bed, and I'll wake up and I'll blink, and it'll be like 2:30 in the morning. So I don't get a lot of sleep. And in that case, Rainbow Six Siege, I went heavy on Warframe, and there was a fantastic 3 month span of Apex Legends where I was playing competitive modes and finding, you know, hanging out with streamers and trying to get all up in that, and it never really went well. But now with the Switch version, I get to do that mobily, and it is a muddy situation.
Yes. Have you played it? Have you been playing handheld or on the TV?
I've been doing a little bit of both, just to kind of see the differences. I like the idea that I can play on the go. I like sitting on my couch and not taking up the TV or being constricted to my PC, but that screen is small enough that the mini map and the ammo, you're switching between, you know, multiple guns, having an inventory, and all of the way the Apex UI is, it shows you You know, you have health items, two separate abilities and two separate buttons, two different guns, and also grenades. All of that is whenever in the normal UI, it's actually all laid out for you with the button prompts included. So with the Switch, all of that plus the mini map, plus leader count, who's doing damage. It's just it's a lot in your face, and it feels almost like a little claustrophobic on screen. And the big screen, it's fine, but when it comes to that small handheld, I'm shooting enemies and I'm like I'm kind of squinting. I feel like I'm squinting more because I'm trying to see in between a lot of the UI. It's probably not more than what a normal TV is, but when it's condensed that far, it feels claustrophobic.
Do you feel like any issues with like draw distance or anything like that? Like I remember, I think it was PUBG where if you had a computer where you couldn't render the grass, you actually had an advantage because you could see people hiding in the grass. And I feel like Fortnite had that early on as well. Yeah. Are you seeing any issues with like draw distance or anything, or does it feel fair still compared to the other platforms? Because this is cross play with the other versions of the game.
It doesn't feel unfair, but playing as a mouse, I've played both with controller and mouse and keyboard. It's not where I want to be using the sticks. I want to use mouse and keyboard. So there is an obvious disadvantage for me, but I haven't seen like a ton of huge massive issues with draw distance. I'm pointing, I'm hitting my targets, and I'm not finding too much difficulty. I need to mess with some of more of the settings, the sensitivity on the sticks. But
have you used the gyro?
I did use the gyro again. I think I might need to up the sensitivity on that as well, because it is a little sluggish on the turns. In practice it works. I just don't know if that's the way to play it, especially considering that like Apex is you know, the battle royale, you're online always. There's never, you know, there's no pause, there's no timeouts. It's just you gotta, you know, move every moment counts.
This runs at 30 frames per second on Switch, right? As opposed to like 60 or whatever you want on PC.
Yeah, it runs at 30. And I'm not seeing too much. I do see a little bit of blur, and I've heard of complaints where people are getting some drop frames, getting a little bit of sluggishness. But I'm on Wi-Fi and I haven't seen any. And I played Apex quite a bit, and I've seen some bad leashing with Apex. They have bad code, bad net code.
Sure.
But I haven't seen it on the Switch. And I got there day one. And I'm pretty sure like they let everybody in the first match win. So I won the first match because they make it that way. It's like mostly bots, I believe. But
I was going to say, is this one of those games where it just feeds you bots for a while?
Yeah, because isn't that what Fortnite does that on mobile, right?
Yeah,
I know PUBG does that on mobile. I got so excited the first time I won a round of PUBG, only to be told by Matt, I think, that they were all bots, and I got real sad.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure Apex does that as well, at least the first match or two. So, I've played it, I think I want to say 5 or 6 rounds at this point. Lasting pretty far, but I'm not seeing too much of a problem. It's just not for me. There hasn't been anything that has been a deal breaker yet, and I haven't found anything, but there's also not, this is not the ideal way to play it.
Yeah, especially when you have other options available to you, and it's rough with these games where you have to play online, because what situation are you going to be on where you have the online to play it but aren't sitting somewhere where you probably have a better system to play it on?
That and the whole for me, a lot of people will say I only play Switch one way. I play Switch pretty much across the board every way, and obviously the benefit for me is when the portability comes. And I love the idea of playing Apex Legends portable, but I'm also like, man, this is not optimal. This is not, you know, I'm on Wi-Fi. I don't feel comfortable necessarily. Even though I'm not seeing those issues, it's still just, it's exciting to be portable, but it doesn't feel right to me. It's like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some games like that where, I mean, that's the real appeal to the Switch, is like, you're going to have some limitations with it. But the cool part of it is, oh, like I can play Doom on the go. I can, you know, play, I mean, even something like Witcher 3, you can play that on the go. It's not going to look as good as it does on Xbox and PlayStation, but there's this added benefit there. And it seems a little bit with Apex that like the handheld experience is kind of so suboptimal that it ruins some of the benefit of what a Switch version even has.
Yeah, that's kind of it for me. And that the other part is that with the portability, I love the idea of the pause, you know, going to sleep mode feature, and that is absolutely not what this is for. Mm-hmm. So that also kind of hinders the portability function for me, because like, you know, I cards on the table, I have a newborn, and I was like, nap time, great, I'm gonna play around. You know, 5 minutes in, we're just landing, getting our gear, baby's crying. I'm like, well, this is not gonna happen.
Have you guys seen the? I don't know if it was one Nintendo put out or if it was one Apex put out, but have you seen the trailer that came out for this with everybody playing crossplay?
No,
I did not.
But I imagine it's probably. I have heard from people. I saw some chatter online that non-Switch players are just kicking the crap out of Switch players.
I would imagine so. Yeah. In this trailer, that is not what happens. You see a bunch of people playing on other platforms, and then they all lose, and it cuts to a kid in a car playing against them on their Switch. And apparently this is like a Wi-Fi enabled car or something. I'm not sure how they're playing Apex handheld from their car, but they are, and they're winning. They are kicking the crap out of all these pro streamers.
The new generation. They're better than us.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad it's at least playable, if not ideal.
If either of you are looking for an online shooter on Switch that you can definitely drop in, drop out, may I interest you in Turok 2 and the online multiplayer that it added like a couple weeks ago?
Oh, wow. Does it have like lobbies? Like, can I just play against randos?
Yes. That's what I did. I'm surprised you did not see my
Well, I knew you were playing with Zach, right? I didn't realize.
It was me, Zach, and former Connectivity guest Ryan Grove, and we were just playing with randoms. And it's cross play. And the cross play, like, I mean, we might have been playing with people on PC, but also like, this isn't Apex. I guess technically it's competitive, but like, no, like, I'm there to try to pull off some cerebral boar kills and nothing else. I don't care if I win. And it is playing it online, like, it was a really fun night. I think Zach, Ryan, and I wound up playing like half a dozen matches or so. And we probably like varied between like, I don't know, like 6 to 10 people in the match. I think it can do up to 16. But it like ran really well, and it made me really, really sad that GoldenEye Xbox Live Arcade version never happened.
Yeah.
Cause that would have for sure had killer online.
I mean, that Perfect Dark Xbox 360 one was amazing. And now I kind of want to go back and play that, like that Xbox Live Arcade version of Perfect Dark 64.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's been a while. Like, I played a lot of that online back in the 360 era. And I like the feel of those N64 era first person shooters, because it's like a more looser arcadey version of, you know, FPS before, you know, like Call of Duty 4 and everything kind of made it more competitive. Not saying it's worse, just I liked it better when it was arcadey.
Well, and especially now that we have those games on a system that can actually run them.
Yeah, yeah. That was the magic of that Xbox Live Arcade version of Perfect Dark.
Right. It's, well, like, I mean, Turok would be the same way. This is what I'm
supposed to. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Turok runs really nicely. Like, it doesn't look the best. I'm probably never going to mess with that single player. But yeah, I would totally. I know. Ryan, Zach, and I talked about going on another night and playing.
Before we started recording, I had mentioned that like I'm more of like a party game person. Have you played Screen Cheat?
I have not.
That sounds familiar.
Screen Cheat is.
I feel like I've heard about it.
It's GoldenEye, but it's more cartoony. And the idea is every single character is invisible. So the only way for you to shoot and find your enemies is to look at their screens.
Hmm. Oh, this is on. It already came out on Switch. Like, how did we miss this? This was during the era where we tried to review everything.
Yep. It's fantastic. Cause again, the only way you're looking at the backgrounds are all very colorful. So like you'll have a red section and a blue section, and you'll know by exploring the map where they kind of are, and you just start pointing your gun and shooting in hopes that you hit something.
Yeah, I might have to mess around with that. Is it online? Or is it just local?
You know, I have my Switch here, and I could find out. But yes, it's definitely a lot of fun. It definitely feels like GoldenEye.
Yeah, because that seems like something that in a different era, I would have played a lot more of. But you know, I haven't had a friend enter my house in nigh 13 months.
Yeah,
yeah. Look, going back to local multiplayer will be a weird change. When we get this thing under control.
I do, like, I'll probably just hyperventilate if I ever go to another gaming event again. Like, and someone, imagine? like someone is holding a controller and hands it to me, I'll be like, what do I do?
You've, like, forgotten how to speak to other
people. Do I, like, dip this in, like, hand sanitizer first?
You wrap a mask around it.
You have to wear gloves constantly.
I'm not sure.
And it does look to be only local.
But it still might be something that I'd break out whenever, when I actually see friends in 3 years.
I'll drive over to you, wear a hazmat suit. We'll be fine. Speaking of instances where you should wear a hazmat suit.
Robotech?
Yeah, so.
I just remember you, like, in a fever dream being like, this, like, GBA Robotech game is on Switch in Australia for some reason.
Yeah, so, okay. Backstory. In like the early 2000s, Harmony Gold decided that they wanted to make Robotech relevant again, which hadn't been relevant since like the mid to late 80s. And they did this by making three video games, two of which are like solidly okay, and one of them is god awful. So late last month or earlier this month, I don't remember, the worst one got remastered and is now available on Switch.
Okay.
And that is Robotech the Macross Saga, which was a GBA shmup. This is a very loving, fairly well executed remake of a horrible game. Like some real effort went into it. The original is, of course, all sprite based, but they redrew all the background. They replaced the player and enemies with full 3D models that are all animated and look pretty nice. They've replaced all of the music, which was, you know, MIDI on the GBA, with the music from the remastered release of Robotech. So you get like the full orchestral version of all the music, and it's a fairly well done, I'm sure, very low budget remaster. But the fascinating thing is that, A, they chose the worst game they've ever made of Robotech. And then B, why is Harmony Gold still trying to make Robotech things happen? It had its moment. It was really popular for a little while and is, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, Robotech was an anime that was released in the US in the late 80s, and it was an amalgamation of three different anime series from Japan that Harmony Gold licensed and then kind of reworked into a single series. And to its credit, and people give Robotech crap today because, you know, oh, it's a bastardization of the original artistic intent, which it is. But it also came out at a time when anime was like never localized. So it's a huge, you know, benchmark in the history of bringing anime to the US, and is a big reason why the animes that are involved in Robotech are now popular in the US, such as Macross. But yeah, so it came, it went, and Harmony Gold is desperate to just keep it going for some reason. And I don't get it, but I...
As somebody who's not as familiar with Robotech, is it more or less political than Gundam?
The plot or the... Okay, I was going to say the drama around its release gets very political.
No, I just... the show... I tried watching Gundam Wing, and the politics drove me away.
Oh, Gundam Wing is so good. Robotech, for the time that it came out, was seen as very, and I say Robotech, but I also mean Macross and just all the shows involved in it. Robotech was seen as pretty adult and mature, it had the balls to, you know, kill off characters and things like that and was marketed to children. But I don't think it's overtly political. It doesn't really try to make any statements or anything like that, other than, you know, the generic anime, I'm going to stand looking into the wind, questioning why humanity has to go to war, et cetera, et cetera. And then jump in my giant robot and shoot everybody. But no, I grew up with the show. I love it. I was super excited when they started making games for no reason in the early 2000s. And I kind of just bought this, A, out of disbelief, B, because I desperately wanted to make a graphics comparison with a GBA game that for some reason I own two copies of. And
seems like a you problem.
I think it was John has a little brother and he's trying to get his little brother to play GBA games multiplayer with him, so he just bought a second copy. and then the third reason was this vague hope that I'm like, maybe if somebody buys this, they'll go, hey, let's remake the other better Robotech games, which they won't. But like, man, Robotech Invasion was actually a pretty good shooter.
What's the price point on this bad boy?
This is $10.
Okay.
So not expensive. You will not get $10 of enjoyment out of it. you're unlikely to beat the first level. Like it's insanely difficult. Okay.
And they didn't like put any kind of options in it. Is it like a raw port otherwise?
It's a very raw port, which the nice thing about that is that all the old cheat codes work.
Oh, fantastic.
So the infinite lives code and the all upgrades code still work.
Fantastic.
My main problem that I have and why it's so difficult when I play it is that my favorite character from Robotech, Max Sterling, is objectively the worst character in that game, and all of his stats are god-awful when you start, so it makes it a harder game when I play. But if you play as any other character, it's not quite as difficult.
It also looks to be relatively short.
It goes on for too long. I don't know if it's short. I mean, it's not a long game, but it's longer than it has any right to be. Like it has the audacity to be longer than it should, but yeah, it's not horribly long, but you will get bored before you finish.
Okay.
I cannot emphasize enough that this is a bad game that I have now purchased three times.
It's like,
I'm sorry.
It's like,
John,
those Neo Geo Pocket games and like old Neo Geo games keep coming out. Like the SNK.
You're like, these would be cool. And then you play them and you're like, oh wait, no, this is bad.
I was like, oh, I should just buy the SNK versus Capcom Neo Geo game. And then I looked at a video of it. I'm like, no.
And there's been multiple of them. It's not just one. Yeah. There's multiple.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a lot. And apparently, like, they're all really good for Neo Geo Pocket Color games.
Right. They're the highlights. They're the benchmark upon which all other Neo Geo games are
Neo Geo Pocket
judged. Neo Geo Pocket games.
Well, I mean,
yeah, that's a different Neo Geo.
Well, I mean, they
different.
Still they do that too, because you ever heard of a Money Puzzle Exchanger?
Yeah. No, I mean, like the hamster, the hamster ports, like the Neo Geo arcade stuff. Yep. Those are great. I'll play some Neo Turf Masters or whatever, the Top Player Golf, which they like updated to change it, which honestly makes me like the game less. Some of those Neo Geo games are fantastic.
Have you guys ever seen a Neo Geo game in person?
In one of my college dorms, they had like an old arcade cabinet that had like, it was the, I forget, there's a specific name for them where it's kind of like the Neo Geo one, where it was, the whole point of it was that like, it was easy to like swap in the games and there would usually be like three games or something in there.
Have you seen the physical cartridges of them though?
I've not seen them in person. They're preposterous, though.
They are VHS sized.
Yeah.
They are majestic. Yes. It's the biggest cartridge I've ever seen in my life. It's amazing.
It's a beautiful thing.
I grew up with a big brother and all of his friends, and they were all trying to find the weird ones. As I was growing up, I remember playing the Jaguar. Like, you only knew one friend who had the Jaguar, and that thing was expensive as hell.
Yeah, I don't think I had any friends who had a Jaguar.
Yeah, the only time I've seen a Jaguar is at, I think, PAX East, when they had it in the retro room. That's one of my favorite things about going to those like events, is just going to see what random-ass retro stuff they had there, whether it's like a Vectrex or even just playing Sega CD.
We got a Vectrex in at the company that I work for at one point, and I managed to convince myself not to buy it, but boy, did I stand there and play it for way longer than
Those are Vectrex are really cool.
They're so cool.
Is that the one that where you had to put the cards on the screen? Like an overlay?
It's Vector Graphics.
It was Vector Graphics, so the screen was built into it.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing where, like, if the screen goes, the system is useless.
Yeah.
So they are exceedingly hard to find.
They're very rare, expensive, but just a beautiful system. If I ever have money to waste, that would be a thing I would love to get. But speaking of wasting money, Neil, how's Mario Kart Tour going?
Well, I meant Mario Kart Live. And I guess, I mean, there's an argument to be made that you're wasting money on either of them.
I'm going to need you to talk about Tour because that's what I segued into. And I'm afraid there's no way to go back.
I can always talk about Mario Kart Tour. I mean, at this point, I've religiously played Mario Kart Tour since it came out. Like, I did not finish this tour this 2 week period. There's a new one that started today on
you
this
filthy casual
Mar 10 day. I do the $5 monthly subscription. So at this point, I guess I've spent. Yeah. I'm trying to now I'm going to do some math.
You probably shouldn't do the math.
I'm going to do
a whale
it right
at
now.
This point.
So September. I think you got the first month free, maybe. So let's look at the calendar.
You can tell yourself that if that makes you feel better.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
That's why I told you not to do the math.
All right. So let's do 1, 2.
He insists.
Four. Yep.
3, 12.
Alex, leave all of this in when you're editing. Don't shorten this awkward silence of Neil counting.
So rough estimate. I spent $90 on video games.
Jesus.
But it is the kind of thing where if I look at like how much I've played of Mario Kart Tour, I'm fine with it. Like, I mean, if we want to compare it to Mario Kart Live, which I think is also a pretty cool game, was that $80 or $100? I forget exactly what the cost of
That's
Mario
true.
Kart Live
you,
is.
Well, and you'll definitely put more time into Tour than you'll ever put into Live.
Yeah. Like, I can, I'll straight up on, it, this is just me discovering things about myself. I will look to see at what my Switch tells me. Okay, I've played it. I'm in 5 hours or more territory with Mario Kart Live.
All right. So you're paying roughly $20 an hour.
Yeah. Mario Kart Tour, definitely the better value.
Well, but for now, I mean, it's going to keep going up.
I have had moments where I've kind of slowed down with it, where I'm like, maybe I should just like exit out. But it's also like I just legitimately enjoy playing the game, and it's something that like I play a lot with my kid. He loves watching me play, and pointing at the screen like he's Leonardo DiCaprio, and we're just like, look, it's Mario, it's Marishi or whatever he calls him. He's really into Donkey Kong.
Hey, who isn't?
We have labeled Mario with a pumpkin on his head as Spooky Mario. So like whenever like I'm racing as him or the Spooky Mario shows up in a race, he just goes like Spooky. But like I really like that. It's one of my favorite mobile games. It makes me excited for the future of Mario Kart in a way that Mario Kart 8 never did.
Yeah.
Because I'm a weird, weird person.
You should see if there's an easy way to check how much time you've put into Tour.
I know they do have stuff on like, I think when you, they added it later on, but when you do finish a tour, it'll be like how much time you've played so far this tour. Okay. I don't know if they do it overall, but like it's a lot of time.
I would imagine.
And I just find it really enjoyable. But Mario Kart Live was the one that I wanted to talk about more. Because that game, I had a lot of fun with when it came out. Like, I really love the idea of like setting up courses, and I have a decent enough like floor space in my house that I could set up some courses. Some of them were like way too hard because I was like, I'm going to make this really tough. And I'm like, this is impossible. Like, these turns are very tight. I'm getting fifth place. Why am I doing this to myself? But like that part of it is super cool. But what I found even more fun with it is not even setting up courses, is just turning that damn thing on and then just driving around with the cart, especially when you have a 2.5-year-old. Like, we probably spent like an hour over the weekend of my 5 hours or more that I've played that game, just like driving the cart around, and like he'll set up obstacles for it to go over and while I'm driving it. And then sometimes, like, he still doesn't really totally comprehend the idea of, like, yes, you play it on the TV or the Switch, and then that moves in real life. He'll just look at it and just be like, why isn't the car moving? And I'll be like, all right, fine, just give me the controller, kid.
It is it's a weird, no games he's ever played have prepared him for this moment.
Yeah. But yeah. Then I did have a moment where, like, my wife was in a meeting, and like, I think I had a work meeting as well, and I was just trying to kind of occupy him while he was hanging at my office with me, and wound up getting that and setting it up, and, like, got him to kind of, like, play with it. And then there was a bit after my meeting ended, and I had some time where I was hanging out with him, where I was just driving the cart around upstairs and, like, sneaking into the room where my wife was. And I rounded the corner entering the room, and I had the camera where I could just, like, because it's, I mean, it's, the camera, I guess, is more aimed straight ahead and not necessarily up, and she was sitting up, but I could glimpse her face just, like, smile and laugh as she's in the middle of a meeting. She just sees the dumb cart just strolling and just being like, what's up? But I really think that game's super cool. I hope they kind of add more to it. I think it's sold well, but you don't hear a lot of people talking about it.
I think it did very well over the holidays.
Yeah. It's over a million, which I think is a win for that.
It was hard to find. I mean, it was well stocked, like, supplies were ample, and yet it was hard to find over the holidays. So, I mean,
Is this a limited time or no?
No. So this is, I mean, we do need to clarify, since most things related to Mario are dying at the end of March.
Yeah.
Mario Kart Live does seem like it will still be on shelves past March 31st.
Okay.
I would think they'll do an update for it. Like, I mean, I think there's even a possibility that, like, maybe, like, right now there's a Mario Kart and a Luigi Kart. Like, they could do, like, Yoshi or Peach or Bowser or something.
Give me that drive.
I would totally buy another cart. Like, I wound up almost having a mild racket where I got nervous about not getting one. So I wound up having 4 pre-orders at one point. I canceled one of them, then gave one to my brother and my niece as a gift. And then another friend of mine, like, wanted it and didn't get it, so I wound up just selling it to her. But I just said that because it was the kind of thing, like, a lot of those pre-orders this year, or I guess last holiday, like the Game & Watch and stuff like that, you just didn't know if it was going to be super, super hard to find. And then it kind of turns out that, like, okay, yeah, like, you might have some trouble, but it's not like PS5 and Xbox Series X hard to find.
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, they're, and especially now, I mean, they're on shelves. If you want one, you can just go get one.
Yeah, I think I was in a Target like a week or two ago, and I just saw one sitting there.
I will say, like, if they want to do more of these, I don't think they're overpriced by any means, compared to other remote control cars and things like this. I think
the tech is really impressive.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Like, the turn radius on the cart, they're pretty durable.
Yeah.
Like,
But all that being said, it is a high barrier of entry.
Yeah.
So selling people more of them will be difficult.
Yeah.
I think that there's potential for more stuff for it. It'd be great if they found a way to make it a little cheaper.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just, maybe you, I mean, though, I guess the game is free, isn't it? Like, you just download the game.
Yeah,
like,
technically. Yeah, it's not, it doesn't come with a card or anything.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you could sell a version of it without the game as an add-on, but you can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, you can even do, because, like, the game, I mean, part of what it comes with, and I guess, like, I don't think the cardboard's necessarily the reason why it's $100.
I don't know. I bought a couple Labo sets.
Yeah. But I mean, those came with a game, though.
That's true.
That's where the money is. It's in the producing that tiny, tiny cartridge.
Plastic adds up.
There probably isn't really a way to sell that cheaper than $100, because it's probably that $100 is purely the cart, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how much of that $100 is profit versus just cost of manufacturing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how much wiggle room they have on it.
It's a super neat thing, though. And I have the takeaway with it that as a game, and like I think Jordan's review, I think he gave it like a 7 out of 10 or something, and like it's not the best game ever. Like there's it, like the progression for it like isn't like you do unlock stuff, but it's kind of like not that enticing. But the just like as a toy and experience, it's magic.
Well, it's a lot. It is a lot like Labo in that respect.
Yeah,
where it's a fun experience that you know you may not come back to for hundreds of hours.
Yeah,
but it's a fun.
It works way better than I kind of thought it would.
Yeah,
and I look forward to it, especially as my kid gets older and you know second kid on the way. Like I think that like building courses is going to be something that's going to be pretty fun. Hopefully like we won't be on like Switch 3 and I'll be like, hey, remember this Mario Kart thing? They'll be like, that's for lamers. We play, I don't know what's going to be Fortnite Kart now. Is that a thing?
Mario Kart Battle Royale, which would be great. Do that.
I mean, yes, just everything's on Block Fort. They just made Block Fort huge.
All the cars drop in from
Mario
the sky.
Minecraft. You build those blocks.
All right. So, I mean, we did talk about Apex Legends, so this feels kind of on point. So, I mean, you just brought up the idea of Mario Kart Battle Royale. I think it has it come up on the show. I know I've talked about it a lot. Just give me Breath of the Wild Battle Royale. Like that's all I want in life. It's just everybody's a Link dropping in to the like a condensed map of Hyrule of Breath of the Wild, and then you just need to survive. Like that would be the game that I would play every day for the rest of my life.
And I assume everyone's naked when they start.
Of course. Have to find clothing.
Naked and afraid.
But will you?
But so outside of Breath of the Wild and Mario Kart, is there another Nintendo franchise that you would want to see as a battle royale, and what would it look like? John, how would your Star Fox Battle Royale play?
Well, okay, I had another option, but I will throw out there that Star Fox Assault
is awesome.
A crazy good multiplayer game.
It really is.
And desperately needed online when it came out. But having that game had big maps, you'd obviously need bigger ones. But being able to run, you can already run around and pick up different weapons and find vehicles and go from running around on the ground to hopping in an R-Wing and flying around. That those mechanics, I think, could translate very well to a battle royale. And I honestly feel like Star Fox is the type of franchise that they could just throw into a battle royale, because like they don't care. But my real answer, I think, was going to be Pikmin.
Ah, damn it. That was actually mine.
Was it? Oh, that must be the correct choice.
As I was
thinking
about when you were talking about Star Fox, I'm like, Pikmin would be real good.
It would. I mean, I think that like the combo of strategy, plus like, let's assume that you have 100 Captain Olimars and each Olimar can have 100 Pikmin.
Yeah. I mean, you'd break the system.
That is Ice Climbers on Fountain of Dreams and 8-player Smash levels of just like, we can't. Did you? Segway, I don't know if either of you guys caught that Sakurai straight up said that the reason it wasn't Rex in Smash Bros. With Pyra and Mythra as like add-on like secondary characters
is because Ice Climbers
was straight up because he couldn't run that and Ice Climbers at the same time. which I like, I love that he fully admits that Ice Climbers just breaks his game.
Yeah, Ice Climbers were a mistake.
Yep. They should never have happened, no matter how much Justin loves them. But yeah, no, I think Pikmin has the potential for just ridiculous insanity. And Pikmin 3's multiplayer is already great.
Yeah, Bingo Battle is incredible. I mean, I don't know why you release a deluxe version of that game and then make Bingo Battle local multiplayer.
During a plague.
Yeah, during a pandemic, when it's like, here's the best part of the game. Also, you're never going to play it.
Yep. Come back in a couple years, kids. This is going to be great.
All right, Alex, do you have a pick
for
your Nintendo franchise Battle Royale?
WarioWare.
Oh.
Because I'm thinking of Tetris 99. Think about Tetris 99 and how that works.
Okay.
And then throw in constant random WarioWare minigames.
So it's just throwing, it's just tossing minigames and knocking people out. And maybe like you doing well can like shorten other people's time or something.
Or make it like make the mini, you know, because if you, what was the one on, I never played GameCube, but I'm like a lot of GameCube games, but I am aware of one on GameCube that you could interfere with other people's mini games as they were playing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was in, what is it? I forget. I think it was just the WarriorWare GameCube one does have that. I know there is kind of a version of that that I played a lot of in the WarriorWare Smooth Moves on Wii.
Yeah.
Where I think you could have it where you'd be basically be passing the Wii remote around. I think it was 12 or 16 people you could have playing at once. And it would just be like, it would be like, okay, like it's John's turn. Give him the Wii remote and he has to do this. And if he fails it, then he loses.
That's the one I'm most familiar with.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's flying in the air and they're angels with their me face.
There's one, you gotta put the Wii, you gotta put the Wiimote on the table and you gotta answer the phone.
Yeah. Oh God. I'm sad they haven't made a console WarriorWare game since then. I mean, Game and Wario like partially counts.
Yeah,
that'd be really cool if they did more WarioWare and like give it an online mode, give it an online battle royale mode.
Exactly.
I mean, they put the GBA one on 3DS. Does that count? I guess they made a 3DS one.
The 3DS one's good. I'm talking home console with like the multiplayer stuff
because give me the party games.
Yeah. It was WarioWare Mega Party Games, and the original game was Mega Micro Games or something like that. That was the GameCube game. But like that Smooth Moves was a game that I just basically kept on playing throughout the lifespan of the Wii because it was just so easy to just be like, all right, we got 10 people, we can play this game.
I think I played Smooth Moves last year pre-pandemic.
It's a fantastic game.
So I bought Smooth Moves. I'm not a big fan of WarioWare, but I bought Smooth Moves purely because I realized that there was a Star Fox minigame in it and I couldn't find footage of it online.
Yeah, no, that it's good. Yeah.
Yeah, it has like, it's like three levels long. There's like this like weird three level long Star Fox game with boss fights in the middle of that WarioWare game.
It is fantastic.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
All right. So you guys picked both of my Battle Royale picks. I'm trying to figure out another one.
Just admit that it's F-Zero, Neil, and we can move on.
That was actually what I was probably going to go with.
Yeah. No, that's you're very predictable. That's your problem. Yeah.
But instead of Battle Royale, I just want F-Zero Yakuza. Like that's it.
Yeah.
I will say, well, I mean, actually, no, here's the real answer. Kirby. Kirby Air Ride has the city trial mode. Give me 100 people doing the city trial mode.
But that would have to be a Sakurai game, and Sakurai is not allowed to make other games.
He'll just have to
keep making the same game over and over.
He might die.
It's probably nonsense, but like
he might. That would be his sweet release. He hopes for it.
He still looks so youthful.
He does. It's his curse. He has to work on Smash Bros. Forever because he's eternally 12.
My weird like entertainment cross section thing that I stumbled upon a number of years ago is that Sakurai and Kevin Smith are almost exactly the same age. Like they're That's like alarming. Like one's like August 2nd and the other's August 3rd in like 1970.
But how many Smash Bros. Games has Kevin Smith made?
I mean, they got that Jay and Silent Bob like Double Dragon game that came out last year. That was pretty good. Have you actually? They had one that's like it's basically just like old retro like NES Double Dragon game. It was totally fine. But the one that like that was kind of like a bonus game for like a Kickstarter. I think it was actually on Fig.
Yeah.
It's like this. It's basically Streets of Rage 4, but Jay and Silent Bob. And it looks really, really good. I think it's supposed to, we'll probably hear more about that this year, I think. But like it has no right looking as good as it does. How about that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, by Dot Emu. It's published by the people who kind of, I think like Dot Emu, like there are developers there, but they do a lot more publishing kind of project management, I think. Because then there's Guard Crush is the developer that basically did like the gameplay for Streets of Rage 4.
Let's hope it's not the people who did the online.
Oh, I actually had really good experiences with the online on both PC and Switch.
I have never gotten the PC one to work, period. Well, I mean, but it was the Game Pass one, though.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for the review period, I played the Steam version and the Switch version with Jared Rosenberg did the review for us.
Hmm.
I played that with him, and like it shockingly ran well. And I think I played through most of it with Andy Gergen, I think, as well, after it came out, and it worked totally fine. But yeah, Tribute Games, that they did the Scott Pilgrim game. They're the people that are doing the development of this Teenage Mutant Turtles game that just looks like it leapt out of Turtles in Time and is now coming out in 2021 or 2022. I don't think they gave an exact year other than coming soon.
Yeah, they didn't. Most, like, 90% of this trailer is an animated, like, just the theme song. You only get like 10 seconds of gameplay at the very, very, very end.
And it looks relatively close to like what the old arcade game was. I mean, I know that's a little bit of like a rose colored glasses, but that's, to me, someone actually told me, like, this is not the old one, this is new. And I was like, really? Cause that's how I remember the old one looking. So they did hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Point.
And it is the kind of thing I feel like I've learned a little bit that, like, playing a lot of beat 'em ups, like I played a bunch on like Capcom Arcade Stadium very recently, that like they're part of the fun with them was like playing them in an arcade cabinet with friends, like, you know, at a Chuck E. Cheese or whatever, or a bowling alley, trying to get as far as you can in the Simpsons arcade game. And that's some of the fun of them. But that doesn't mean like I don't like them. I just feel like they're not, like, it's not something I'm going to play forever. But like those Turtles games, like, it's just the style and like how, like, almost universal playing, mm-hmm. whether it was Turtles in Time or the arcade game on NES and Super Nintendo or the arcade versions that they came from. Like, they're all just really, really fun and good.
I would love if the reason they didn't show us much gameplay is because this is, in fact, a spiritual sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the NES, the first one, where it was Zelda 2 instead. That would be the greatest plot twist.
I would love, at least, if there's a level that pays homage to that,
where you're just driving around a city and then,
or you're just trying to avoid the electric seaweed.
New addition, though, to this version, April O'Neil fighting, it looks like.
Oh, cool.
Is there? Did they show that?
I thought that I saw that. So I'm going to try to look it up again. But
I'm not even going to ask you to check. I'm going to report on that as 100% true fact news.
Alex,
I'm writing
up
a news story right now. Yep. According to our source, Alex Arona, you can fight exclusively as April O'Neil. None of the turtles appear. It's a weird change, but it's what the series needed.
Are either of you guys excited for Monster Hunter?
So here's my cycle with Monster Hunter. I'm going to really enjoy Monster Hunter for like a week after it comes out, cause I'll play it with some friends and have a really good time. And then I'll like take a couple days off to, you know, go to work, and then I'll come back and they'll all be level 278 and I'll have no hope of ever playing.
Oh, hey, you know,
again.
My friends too.
That's going to be,
we all have the same friends.
Yeah, I guess maybe the three of us can just play together. Because, I played the demo, was super impressed by it. When Monster Hunter World came out, I thought I was like, this is what Monster Hunter has needed since everything after the first Monster Hunter on PS2. Like they're finally catching up with what they needed to do. So I having that design on handheld and the demo of Monster Hunter Rise was very, very good. I am excited to play it. I will probably pick it up. I won't finish it, but I'll play it for a few weeks.
Yeah, that's, I'm kind of in the same boat too, where like I don't know how much longevity I'll get out of it, but it's been a while since I kind of sunk my teeth into a Monster Hunter game. Like I put like 50 hours or so into 4 Ultimate on 3DS. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been like a long enough time. Like I've talked about this with people, and some people are like, well, like you do that in every video game, but like with Monster Hunter, you have to put so much work into like getting the gear in every game that I remember like 4 Ultimate, like I got really into it, and then Generations came out on 3DS and I started and I'm like, I don't want to do this again. Like, that was a lot of work that I put into 4 Ultimate. How come none of that carries over? Damn it.
Did you play World at all?
I played like a little bit of a demo at an event, but that was it.
Yeah, did you play the Rise demo?
I did play the Rise demo. I do love a lot of like the quality of life changes that they made.
Yes. Oh, just the, and I mean, I've talked about this before, but the simplest thing of like, you picked up a couple herbs, we're just going to make you a potion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, thank you. Like,
it just basically like takes out a step.
That happened in, that happened in World.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. All the quality of life changes that World made are so huge. And I do think that Monster Hunter is a game that I'd rather play mobile. So yeah, having the World game design handheld is, I think, the perfect thing that could happen, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, and I know I'm really excited for Stories too, because it looks like I still, there's a part of me that's like, maybe I should just wait and just play Stories 2 as opposed to playing the copy of Stories 1 that I have on 3DS, because it does seem like Stories 1 on 3DS seems a lot more of like, we're going to, for like, you know, like baby's first RPG in a way. Like, it seems more, way more Pokemon inspired. Mm-hmm. Whereas Stories 2 kind of looks like it's a little more ambitious than that.
It looks like the trailers for Stories 2 make me wish I liked JRPGs. I'm like, this looks cool, but like, I don't know if I can force myself through this, but I might make a mistake and buy it, because I love the look of it.
Well, here's the thing that it looked really, really good in their presentation that they had the other day. And then after the presentation, it came out that it's also coming out on PC day and date. So that's why it looked really, really good. Oh,
that was PC footage.
Yeah, that was PC footage. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't have to buy it anymore.
I mean, although considering what Capcom is doing with Rise on Switch, which looks incredible. It looks better than I think almost anything Nintendo's done. Mm-hmm. It's wild how good Rise looks. And maybe there was like, they showed a trailer, I think it was during the Direct, that like there were parts of it where I'm like, whoa, like, did they mean to do that? But it's almost like Xenoblade 1 on Wii, where there's some parts of it that if you like stare too closely at it, you're like, yee. But if you look at the scope of the entire thing, it's really good looking.
Well, that's, I mean, because Rise is not technically running at that high of a resolution.
Yeah.
But it's just Digital Foundry did a video when Alien Isolation came out on Wii about how like raw resolution isn't necessarily directly equivalent to image quality. And I think Rise is a really good example of that, where when you look at it, you're not going, oh, this is running at 540, because you don't feel like it's running at 5. Like, the image quality looks way better than what the raw resolution numbers will tell you. I think it. I was amazed playing it how much it looked like World. I couldn't believe it.
And I could see where they pared it down even then, and I still felt like it, the concessions they made in the way, like when I could see the kind of looks of it, it still felt really like a solid entry into that series. The removing of the scout flies to make it more of like an in-game directional system. It still felt good to me.
Mm-hmm. It's also the first Switch game to use the RE engine.
No.
Is it not?
Capcom Arcade Stadium is technically the first. Ghosts and Goblins is technically the second.
All right. Well, never mind.
It was the first one announced.
It's the most graphically intensive game on Switch to use the RE engine. And the fact that it works so well does make me wonder why we only have a streaming version of Resident Evil 7. But But I suppose that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. I think that might be all we got.
I think we're about at an hour. It's been a slow week for news. I know it's been quiet, and we were talking before the show. Me and Neil, I messaged Neil this morning and I said, well, The main game I have to talk about is under embargo still, and the only other thing I have to talk about is a garbage Robotech game, so this is going
to
be
a game that I would have to talk about is also embargoed until next week.
Yeah, and that's when we realized we needed to find someone else to talk to.
Yeah.
Someone who's played a game.
That came out this week.
I do occasionally play video games.
Yes, like, well done being relevant and current.
Yeah.
And playing a game that's on a Nintendo system. Last week, all I had to talk about was Mass Effect Andromeda, which is both old and not on Nintendo. So the bar is low.
I downloaded it. I believe I said to you that I'm going to download this game and then not play it. And so far, that has been true.
And to follow up for listeners, I have ordered a copy of Mass Effect 3 on Wii U. So look forward to the graphics comparison between that and the Mass Effect trilogy. Because that's happening.
I try to always have at least like one game going on PC, one game on PlayStation, and one game on Switch, and that doesn't include live service games. So again, I've always have like an Apex or a Final Fantasy 14 or something going on in the background.
I try to do that, and then I inevitably only play one of them. One day I will finish Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, I think if we're looking at that, I mean, I guess my most current Xbox game is I started playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 again.
It's all
Neil just plays the same game. I was gonna say
before then it was just playing Madden a lot on Xbox, and then Sea of Thieves. I did start Fallen Order. I should go back to Fallen Order. I was enjoying that a lot.
Let's see, it's Persona 5 Royal, Yakuza 0, Ni No Kuni, and going between Skater XL and Final Fantasy 14.
That is entirely too many large scale games to be playing at once.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy 14 kicker was definitely the oh no, in you of a child.
Yeah, no, it's each game roughly gets 1 hour a week.
Yeah, I will say, I guess my PC game is Trails of Cold Steel, which is like, I know, Alex, you talked that you like yourself some JRPGs. Yo, holy shit, Trails of Cold Steel is really good.
No, I have a bunch of friends who try to be like completionists, and they all went through every single Ease game and every single Trails of Cold Steel game in the last like 3 years, like discussing them all with me. And it made me buy Trails of Cold Steel 1, but again, all of these JRPGs have long 100-hour run times.
Yeah. Yeah, I think each of the Cold Steel games is like a 50-60-hour minimum. I'm like 15 hours in the Cold Steel 1. It's just, it's real, real good. I do get antsy, though. I actually did, on sale, I bought a copy of Trails of Cold Steel 3 on Switch. So it's that way of, I think my having two kids on a paternity leave seems like I'm not really going to have a lot of time to play video games. Unlike the first kid, where there was napping, so there was time to play some RPGs. But I do aspire to kind of go through more Cold Steel games when I'm home. I mean, I guess I'm home now as well because, you know, COVID.
Yeah, that was my resolution for 2021 was JRPGs. Have one going at all times. And again, it is March and I have three of them going and have beat none of them.
That is the way it goes. I should probably finish Ease, whatever, 9? Ease 9. Is that what we're on?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was good until I stopped playing it. I do consistently play PC games, but I only play Age of Empires 2 and have been playing the same one PC game since 1999. So
Have either of you guys played Deep Rock Galactic?
Yes.
Is that the one with the dwarves?
Yes. It's really fun.
Yeah, it is.
I was just thinking of other games that I've been playing. Yeah, because it's basically you're just like drunk dwarves mining. and there's a mechanic in which you like kind of have to like lay down pipe to connect to different things across the environments that you go into, and then you can grind on the pipe. But it's just so much fun because like you'll just be walking around doing something and you'll see another character just like skateboarding along to go back to the base.
Do all the dwarves wear soap shoes?
I guess so.
Yep. Kind
of. That's a term I haven't heard in a very long time.
If you don't every day think about the weird grinding shoe license deal that Sonic Adventure 2 had, then you're not living your life to the fullest.
Did any of us ever have soap shoes? I always aspired to, but I never had it.
No, because Sonic had them, so I tried to avoid them whenever possible.
Yeah, soap shoes, Sonic the Hedgehog. It's part of the Wikipedia. Yeah.
I wanted the shoes that had bionicle masks on the front, like a real man, so I didn't have time for your soap shoes.
I do love how they tried to like get the term soaping to be a thing. Like, that just sounds like a thing that you do on drugs. Like, yo, man, did you see Brian? He was soaping so hard last night.
On that note, I'll try to wrap up this episode for, I think, the third time. Thank you, Neil, for joining me as always. And thank you, Alex, for joining. And thank you for joining the site, you new person.
Thank you. I will continue to enjoy being the new guy.
You can hit us up on Twitter at ConnectivityNWR. You can also send in some listener mail, connectivity@NintendoReport.com.
Okay, bye.
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 This video was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.